In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. They that observe vain and false things have abandoned mercy for themselves. That's from one of the biblical odes, the one of the prayer of Jonas the prophet, the sixth ode. The odes are said during the Great Lent. They could be theoretically said at any vigil, but the custom now is to say the odes, some of the odes during Great Lent. Always the eighth ode, always the ninth ode, and then one of the other odes throughout the week. And when the canon is done, at least the last two verses of every ode are said as in between verses between the stichera of the canon. And this verse is always said then every weekday of Great Lent. They that observe vain and false things have abandoned mercy for themselves. Every time I read it, I feel this hard to explain, impossible to really put into words, exquisite feeling of beauty and of pain and of joy and of sorrow, because this kind of sums up the human condition, and it also sums up God's mercy. We run away from God's mercy because of vain and false things, whatever they might be. The prayer of St. Ephrem certainly mentions a lot of them, right? Idleness, despondency, ambition, and idle talk. Those are all vain and false things. And all the rest of our sins, they're vain, they're false. In a very real way, they don't really exist. They really are things that cause our death and therefore our lack of existence. We only exist if we are in God. Outside of God, we have no true life. So we breathe right now, but there's a portion of us that's not with God because of vain and false things. So that portion, I guess you could consider to be not alive yet. And what is it that we do when we observe vain and false things? We abandon mercy for ourselves. This reminds me of where St. Paul is waxing eloquently, and he says, neither height nor depth, I don't remember the rest of the quote, but neither height nor depth nor things created, nor things above nor below can separate us from the law of Christ, or from the love of Christ, excuse me. Well, the law of Christ is love, so although that was a slip, it's really not untrue to say the law of Christ, because the law of God is love. And when I read that, we read that part of the epistle several times in the year, I always think of things like this verse. Because there is one thing that can separate us from the love of Christ. There is one thing. And that is ourselves. Abandoning God. Not abandoning him by saying, I don't believe in you anymore. But abandoning him by pursuing vain and false things. I think our life should be an effort to learn the things that are good and to cleave to them. And to run away from the things that are vain and false. Another word for those vain and false things would be evil things, false things, unholy things, ungodly things. The scripture is very clear. Put away evil and do good. Don't pursue vain and false things. When we do, we literally throw away God's mercy. I find that to be a terrible tragedy. I have a lot of struggles in my life. I think all of them are because I cleave sometimes to vain and false things, to comfort or to laziness or to judgment or to jumbled up thoughts or to pride, vainglory, all the rest. All of my problems are because of that. I'm not talking about if you have a problem with your finances, or a loved one is dying, or a loved one is suffering from some terrible addiction or something of that nature. Those are problems that are not caused by you pursuing vain and false things. But your reaction to them, that is directly because of whether you pursue God or pursue the world. Really, it's as simple as that. It is really a binary thing. You either pursue God or you pursue the world. There is no in between. But I see this verse as very hopeful because I hate vain and false things. I still indulge in them. But with God as my witness, I don't like them. I don't like what they do to me. I don't like what they do to my loved ones, to my flock. I don't like them. And I want to abandon them. And since they say, the verse says, they who observe vain and false things have abandoned mercy, I think you can also take it in another sense. Those who hate vain and false things and desire to be rid of them will have mercy. That's the way I read this verse. So every time I read it, it's much like at the beginning of vigil. I don't know if you have this feeling at the beginning of vigil, but I hope you do. I think you should. At the beginning of vigil, I think, I want to pray with attention the entire 2.5 hours. This is a holy and a blessed time when God is going to teach me something I need to know. He's going to heal my soul of something that it needs to be healed from. And this is an exciting time. This is the best time of my life. And I want to give it my full attention. Of course, that lasts only for a minute or two, or maybe for only a few seconds, and then my mind is somewhere else, or, you know, you get bored, or you get inattentive, or you start thinking about this or thinking about that. But still, at the beginning of every vigil, that's my prayer, that I pay full attention and that God would visit me. It's my prayer for you too, by the way, as I was taught in a sermon once, that every time that my flock comes to church, I want them to meet God. In the midst of all your jumbled thoughts and your inattention and everything else, I want there to be a moment when God meets with you and when you are aware on some level, even if it's only that your soul knows and that you don't really understand it. And that verse that I'm talking about, it gives me hope because I desire every time at vigil and every time at liturgy to pay full attention, to be full of love, to be fire. But I'm not fire. But every time it's possible that God could make it so that I pay full attention that during that liturgy. I always believe that it's possible because I don't like vain and false things. I hate them because of what they do to me, because of what they do to my flock. I hate them. I hate them with a perfect hatred. And you should too. So you should take hope from this verse. And if you hear it, or when you hear it, it'll be rare that you hear it if you don't go to daily services. And I serve some daily services, but they're kind of secret because I serve them by myself so that I can serve them, you know, quietly. And sometimes I don't know what time I'm going to be getting to the church. But generally I serve them usually on Mondays and Tuesdays in the morning sometime or the late morning. But when you hear this, or you get your Psalter and read it, take comfort from this verse. But also take instruction from this verse. When you observe vain and false things, you are abandoning God's mercy. Do you want God's mercy? Do you say, Lord, have mercy? If you say, Lord, have mercy, and then you do something vain and false, you are contradicting yourself. You're basically a liar. So let this verse be our instructor, and let this verse also be our consoler. Let's learn not to observe vain and false things, but also let's take comfort that the Lord, if we reach out to him with our feeble hand, like Peter, remember Peter? In the waves, he was sinking, right? What did he do? He reached out The Lord was perhaps a couple yards away. This reaching out would have had no effect whatsoever if the Lord had not come to him and raised him up. He would have sunk. But that small gesture of Peter, that would have been useless without the Lord present, raised him up. So the same with us. Our small gestures, our small prayers, our small act of fasting, of humbling ourselves, of loving someone, especially the ones who are more difficult for us to love, of being kind and being humble, those small gestures, that is our response to this verse, saying, Lord, I don't want to observe vain and false things. I want to do the right thing because I want to be rid of vain and false things. And God will never abandon you, ever, if you struggle against vain and false things, ever. I recommend that you read the odes in the back of the Psalter. Any good Psalter has them. The Psalter that we use from Boston has them in the back. Sometimes the real small Psalter that they publish only has just the Psalms because they're saving space. So if you want to save up your drachmas, buy the Psalter and read the odes occasionally and beg the Lord to help you to abandon vain and false things. And if you abandon vain and false things, then God will never abandon you. May God help you in all things. Amen. I